Good morning, Maine. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, News Talk WLOB, 1310 AM, and now on 100.5 FM. Deb, that's a new development in the media empire, isn't it? Now they're
certainly
on both
is.
AM and FM.
AM and FM.
Yeah, you're
yes,
just
indeed.
You're just telling me before we went on this show and others on WLOB will be simulcast on both AM and FM, and it's online streamed at
yes.
WLOB.
Yeah.
You were mentioning we now go up to Wiscasset.
Yeah.
So for people waiting in line at Reds.
Yeah, they can
hear
right
this
you.
Minute. Yeah, during that 2 hour wait for the lobster roll up there.
Yes.
Have you ever had a Reds lobster roll?
I have, but I was very young.
Yeah, I had one last summer.
But I remember it was great.
I don't. A little overrated.
You think so? Yeah.
I'm a Lobster Shack guy, Cape Elizabeth.
Oh, I agree.
They opened last week. I went.
Oh, they're open.
They're open. And I like to go before...
I'm writing it down.
Yeah, write it down. I was supposed to keep it as a secret.
I got to put it in my calendar.
I want to go this weekend before the crowds, but now our million listeners are all going to go...
Now everybody
I was
knows.
Kidding. Everyone, go to Wisconsin, go to Reds. Do not go to the Lobster Shack.
Right.
But I went last week. It's delicious, Lobster Shack.
Oh,
best view,
lobster.
Best location. Oh,
oh
it's
yeah.
unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, agreed.
So with 100.5, we got like 4 million megawatts of power.
And yeah.
You said we tickle Augusta. What does that mean? How are we tickling Augusta?
Just as you're getting into Augusta, you lose it.
Well, the signal. The signal,
yeah.
is
the
that
signal.
What you meant?
Yeah, the signal is what you lose, yeah.
See, these broadcasting terms, I wasn't sure what you meant. I thought there was some sort of political thing.
Yeah.
Like we're tickling Augusta. Like that's code for...
I'd rather say poking, but, you know.
Again, I'm not familiar with your technical media term, so I'm going to leave that alone.
Okay.
We've got a great interview in just 2 minutes. We've got Lisa DeSisto here. She is... I've met her a few years ago. She came up here at Maine, I think, about 3.5 years ago and took over leadership of the Portland Press Herald, Maine Today Media, the other newspapers. So sharp, so involved in the community. I'm on a board with her, Boys and Girls Clubs.
Love it.
She's active in everything. So that'll be that's something we taped the day before.
Mm-hmm.
But let's cover on this day, April 9th, 2016.
Yeah.
What do we have going here? On this day, 1865, Robert E. Lee surrenders.
Yeah.
On this day. We need to get this information down to some people in Georgia.
Okay.
Because I used to live down there.
Yeah.
And I'm making a bit of a pun, but there are still people down there that really refuse to acknowledge that.
Oh, yeah. They call it the War of Northern Aggression.
Yeah. It's just, you know, all wars are tough, but at some point
you got to give in at some point, yeah.
At some point you got to get in.
Now I mean, what's it been, 150 years or more?
Well, it was 1865, so, you know, on this day, so we don't have to guess. We actually have the information right there. What else on this day? 2005, Prince Charles marries Camilla Bowles.
Yeah.
Sully and I were talking before. Prince Charles, my theory is that he was and is kind of an unpopular royal.
Mm-hmm.
I think when Queen Mom... Mm-hmm. Passes away, and she's got to be 90-something, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
She's Prince Charles is going to say, hey, just pass me over.
That would be a good thing to do.
I think it would, because Prince, on the other side, Prince William, is that his name? He's married to Kate Middleton.
Uh-huh.
They've got two little kids.
Yeah.
He's a man of the people. He's just a wonderful guy.
Sure.
Yeah, on this day, birthday, Curly Lambeau. Anyone who follows football and the Packers play at Lambeau Field.
I'm a cheesehead.
Yeah. Hugh Hefner turns 90 today. Yeah.
Still with us.
He's only had 3 different pairs of pajamas in that time, and he just rotates them.
But he must have more than a couple smoking jackets, right?
Yeah. So that's on this day.
Yeah.
But enough of this nonsense. Let's get right to our interview with Lisa DeSisto, the CEO of Maine Today Media. Thank you for listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, WLOB 1310 AM. And as we said, if you're listening on AM right now and you want to get a little wacky and have a whole different experience, try 100.5 FM.
Yes.
And here's the interview.
Who wants yesterday's papers? Who wants yesterday's gun? Who wants yesterday's papers? Nobody in the world.
That's not true, Deb. By the way, I didn't even know that was our intro song. By the way, you're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O. Our guest is Lisa DeSisto. She's CEO and publisher of Maine Today. I want yesterday's paper. I want today's paper. I grew up reading newspapers, and they're still a vital part of everything we do. Yes. So let's welcome Lisa DeSisto to the show.
Hey,
Lisa.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me. I'd never even heard that song before. Like, that's a legit Stone song?
That is the Rolling Stones.
Wow.
Yeah, typically, yeah, we try to come up with thematic music.
Yeah.
But in this case, yesterday's paper just pumped up.
Yeah, I would have preferred the Joe Jackson Sunday paper.
Or,
oh, yeah.
That's
okay,
a good one, right?
Next time we will cue that up. Well, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
You were here a couple of years ago.
Yep.
You're CEO and publisher, and we want to talk about that. You've joined the paper in about 3.5 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. End of 2012.
Right. And came from the Boston Globe.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 3 infuriating hours yesterday down in Boston going through the traffic.
I do not miss it for 1 second.
You were thinking I spent 3 infuriating hours something having to do with you or the
Portland Press. I thought you were going to have like a home delivery Globe thing or something when you said
No.
Boston.
I don't know if you remember, but when you and I spoke a couple of years ago, my first job was a paperboy for the Boston Globe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when they had both morning and afternoon delivery.
Yeah.
So I'd wake up and the papers went in the front and they'd be wrapped in twine. I'd deliver them, come home from school. And I never could really understand what news was happening between 7 a.m. and 3 that was so vital to get it out in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, we had a vehicle for distributing afternoon ads, right?
So I know that had to be it. It's like something big happened this morning at 10. You need to read about it right here.
But think about it. I mean, it was also pre-internet, right? So think about the amount of news that happens between 7 a.m. and 3 o'clock this afternoon. So that's enough to fill another paper.
Right. And it was a jobs program for young people like me to go deliver papers.
That's right. A lot of people say to me, well, why don't kids deliver papers anymore? And really, they only delivered the afternoon papers because kids should be sleeping between 2 and 5 a.m., which is when the carriers are out there delivering. So
I know. There was probably a whole child labor thing back then. My parents sent me out at like 6 a.m. in the darkness of February.
Oh, that's not right.
It wasn't right. Well, there's also a longer list of things that weren't right back then. Back then in the 60s, like riding in the back of a pickup truck on Route 128 in the middle of the day.
No seatbelts.
Running up to the grocery store to get my mom cigarettes when I was like 4 years old.
Yeah.
There's a whole list of things.
Yeah.
All interesting things. Parenting has changed. There's new understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about kind of your transition from your background in Boston. I'd say that you were referred to as a media titan, but I think I referred, so I will quote myself, you were a media titan working in many areas of advertising and promotion and digital with the Boston Globe. 3.5 years ago, the owner at that point, Donald Sussman, did a search to find a new leader of Maine Today Media, which is owner of the Press Herald and other papers. And what has that transition been like going from big city to smaller metro area?
Mm-hmm.
And give us an update on that transition for you personally moving from there to here. And then we'll talk about what's going on with the paper.
Sure. So, I had, when I worked in Boston, all of my jobs had the word Boston in them. So I worked at the Boston Globe, Boston Phoenix, Boston Magazine, Boston.com. So I never imagined I would have a job that didn't have the word Boston in it, right? Until I got a call from a recruiter about coming here. And at that time, you know, I felt like my husband and I, we had a small child, and we were in a little bit of a grind. And he was working at Channel 5 in Needham. And his
I grew up in, by the way.
And lovely community.
I wrote for a show for WCVB Channel 5. Oh. Right there in Needham.
Yeah.
I wrote for Timothy Johnson years ago on Synchronicity on Sleep. And Muzzy Ford, which is right in front of that station.
Yeah.
40-something years ago, my dad was involved in construction, built the little Japanese garden.
Oh, wow.
But we digress.
Yes, we digress. So anyway, my husband every night he would call and he would curse on the phone about the traffic because we lived in Wakefield. So we had this crazy commute from Needham to Wakefield, Mass. Yeah. So when I got the call about, I'm like, I got a call about a job in Maine. And he packed all his fishing and hunting equipment.
He was like, no traffic,
oh,
right?
No, he backed the pickup out. And he's like, are you ready? Because like, I'm going. So he was really excited about it. And we had come to Maine. We still vacation in the Belgrade Lakes. And we love it up here. Right. He grew up in Tennessee. So he feels like Maine is like Tennessee, only, except for the accents. And he's still in search of the best biscuits and gravy. That's the only thing he misses
there's
about
no
home.
Waffle House, yeah.
No, but from a community perspective, it's got that everyone is so warm and welcoming. I feel like in a smaller market, there's no hierarchy, right? Like, you can get to anyone and have a conversation with anyone at any time. And I always say you better wear lipstick when you go to Hannaford because you never know who you're going to run into.
You're right. I mean, I'll go to the airport and our U.S. Senator Angus King will be there. And he'll go, hey, Steve, how are you doing? We'll talk. And the next day, someone else that you know from and Maine, with approximately 1.3 million people, the whole state has a smaller population than
Metro, greater Boston, I think, is like 4 or 5 million.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's it. But the traffic is soul crushing. So yesterday I had to go down for a meeting in Boston. It was raining, and it took me an hour to go from the Tobin Bridge to over in South Boston, not far from where the Globe was based. I was meeting at Gillette.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking of all the cars that stuck in traffic for an hour and a half. People that do that day in and day out.
It kind of sucks your joy.
It does. It's soul crushing. And from our studios here in Falmouth to my house, it's 3.2 miles.
Yeah.
And so the downside is there's not a single traffic light for my commute.
Right.
But my commute time is either 4 minutes and 10 seconds, or if there's a lot of traffic, 4 minutes and 30 seconds. I can't call my wife and say I'm stuck in traffic. I'm late.
Yeah, you can't go with that.
There's a 20-second variation.
Right.
So we have Lisa DeSisto here. So the transition has been good.
Love it.
Great things are happening.
Yeah.
There was some really big news a year ago that I want to talk about, and the ownership transition.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Sussman, who I will describe as somebody who was very active in Maine. And he was married to Congresswoman Shelley Pingree. They announced in the last year that they're getting divorced. I don't know if they're divorced or not. But about a year ago, he made arrangements to transfer ownership of the paper to Reed Brower, who's been a successful publisher, newspaper, weekly guy based up in Camden, who... Mm-hmm. I should disclose that over the last few months, I've had some lovely lunches with Reed. He's a really nice guy. He's well-respected in the community. But that had to be a really big transition, especially with the history of the Press-Herald, having a number of ownership changes in the last 10 years, I guess. So talk about what that means for a paper when one owner, who is usually completely separate from editorial content, and that's important for journalism, but when the ownership changes, what does it mean for the business operations and for the paper itself?
Sure. So, first of all, I can't say enough about working for Donald and what he did for the Press Herald and for our community.
It was a benevolent investment that he made, right? The paper was struggling when Donald Sussman came in, and he's a well-known billionaire, financier, hedge fund guy.
Yep.
But it wasn't a profit-making thing when he came to help the Press Herald, right?
No, he was really all about... He said every good community needs an outstanding newspaper.
Right.
And the investments that he allowed us to make in the newsroom, we have a newsroom and I think we produce a product day in and day out that is exceptional. And you cannot find another market our size in the country that has the quality of product that we're putting out both in print and online. And Donald was the one that got that investment going. And the paper had been really neglected from an infrastructure perspective. We didn't know how to reach our customers, right? So we didn't have any – you know all about this,
sure.
Steve, from your world about marketing. We didn't have a single email address for any of our customers three years ago. So he gave us all the investments that we needed to really build a solid foundation for the business. But we had this one lingering thing, well, actually we had two, hanging over our head, and that was Donald had acquired some debt from the previous owner. And we just weren't in a position with the way our business operation was going to pay off that debt. So by selling the company, we were able to get out from behind that debt, again, because of Donald's generosity. He put millions and millions of dollars into the paper and did not take a cent out. So it really was a labor of love.
And he was totally hands-off, right?
Completely hands-off. And honestly, that transition to Reed from a journalistic perspective continues, right? Reed does not get involved, nor did Donald ever get involved in any news making decisions.
I couldn't
even
find Reed's name on the online masthead because you're the CEO publisher.
Yep.
And so you oversee the business operations, and then there's the editorial staff and management, and I couldn't even find his name, which is kind of indicative, I think, of he's a really humble guy.
That's right.
And he's a low-key guy.
Yep.
And other people may buy a media property and go, hey, I bought the – I think Reed is more like, hey, I want to just be in the background.
Right? Oh, completely. In fact, I know you probably tried to get him first for the show and he wouldn't do it. And then you're like, oh, second choice, I'll go with Lisa.
No, but it was close.
He is – He doesn't like the spotlight at all. He just likes to do what he does from behind the scenes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will tell you, too, that, he has this history for kind of stepping in and saving media properties. He did that up with the Courier Publications. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many years ago it was up there. And he's got four with the Free Press, the paper he started in Rockland, four great newspapers up there. So
he has a really interesting backstory. He started, I don't know if he started, but one of his key businesses was a kind of a shopper insert, which was very successful, did very well. He sold that, and it was a very successful sale and
yep.
expanded kind of his media thing. If only a large daily newspaper in Maine could do a big profile on Reed Brown. I'm being facetious.
Yeah.
But he has an interesting story.
He does.
His story, his life story, which I've had lunch with him a couple of times, would make a great profile. But the catch-22 is the Portland Press Herald can't really overly celebrate, hey, here's our owner and let's read this great story. But
Maybe we'll get the New York Times to do it.
I didn't think you were going to go with Bangor Daily News, so I didn't know how you were going to pivot. But you're right. Either the Boston Globe, which I think you still have some direct dial connections there.
Yeah, more to the circulation department, not the newsroom, but yeah.
But I think Lisa DeSisto can get people on the phone. But, he's an interesting guy. I think he's worth kind of some sort of profile, but both what he's done prior to taking over ownership of the Press Herald and Maine Today Media, but just an interesting backstory.
Well, we actually both graduated from UMass Amherst, and one of the things that I love about Reed is he's just this relentless entrepreneur, and he tells this story about how he used to buy pizzas wholesale at UMass and then go around to the dorms after people had had a few and sell slices. Like, that's it, talk about filling a need, right? So,
Deb, you still do that, don't you?
Deb,
isn't that your Saturday, Sunday
thing? That's my thing, yeah.
You go to Pat's Pizza and then you travel around. Oh, those are delicious.
My secret's out.
Okay, well, entrepreneurialism is alive and well here in Maine. Have you been to Reed's office up in Canada?
Yes.
It is fascinating.
It's like the museum.
It's unbelievable. And again, you have to have top secret clearance, but you go into this building and it's very a family business. All the folks he works with, he's very close with, his assistant. But then you go up a couple flights of stairs and then you go up into the inner sanctum and there are sports plaques, there are jerseys, a lot of paper, a lot of...
It's an archive.
And it is from decades of his work in publishing, and he's a sports enthusiast, and he's in the community.
He's a runner, he plays softball, he bowls, he's an interesting dude.
Yeah, he came in here a year ago, we did a quick interview, and I believe... that after the interview, he's like, "Can I change in the bathroom?" And I thought he was doing a Superman thing, and he kept his car here at the studio, and he ran for 2 or 3 miles. And I've never had a guest do that.
Yeah,
it would be like
I will not be doing that today. No.
It'd be like you saying at the end of the interview, "Hey, I'm going to go rock climbing in the back if that's all right."
Yeah,
which of course it would be if you decide that's your thing. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve on News Talk WLOB 1310 AM. also 100.5 FM. Deb, that's late-breaking news, too. Now we're a simulcast.
We certainly are.
I listened last night. You know, the Red Claws game was carried on both AM. And then they lost.
Yeah,
but there's always next year.
That's right.
That's the beauty
of sports. What's their issue with the playoffs, though? They do so well during the regular season.
Well, as one of the co-owners of the team, I am unrelentless in my support and for the team. But 0-6 in the playoffs is a bit of a hurdle.
Mm.
And it's a great team. And the coach, Coach Morrison, has done a great job this year and last year. But the playoffs are so short. In the V League, it's
best of three is a little crazy.
Yeah,
you can't get your jam going.
It's a very natural phrase for you, Lisa.
I really had to stumble through it.
I don't have that that street vernacular. It is something like getting your jam going, but a lot of it also is if you're really successful in the D League. The byproduct of that success is you often lose players to the NBA.
Mm.
So during the regular season, teams like the Red Claws do well. And then, you know, in this case, Tim Frazier, who was the star point guard, he got picked up by an NBA team. And so, you know, you almost don't want to be too successful in the D League early on so you can keep the great players. But, you know, we wish them luck. So back to Maine Today Media. For people listening that may not be familiar with the Empire beyond the Portland Press Herald, which is the iconic daily paper, why don't you talk a minute about what is the scope of Maine Today Media and what your role as CEO publisher is for the media empire?
Sure. So we publish the Portland Press Herald Monday through Saturday, and then we have the Maine Sunday Telegram, which takes more of a statewide focus on Sunday.
Can you tell me for one quick second?
Yeah.
I think many daily newspapers do this, where Monday through Saturday, there's one banner for the newspaper, and oftentimes the Sunday paper has a completely different name.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Was there some origin, or what is the? Why wouldn't it just be the Sunday Portland Press Herald as opposed to the? What is the origination?
We love that we're Maine's newspaper, the whole state on Sunday, and I think that's good for the readers. It's good for advertising. Honestly, from a marketing branding perspective, it's kind of a nightmare to have two different papers with the same staff, but.
You're CEO. You can change that.
You know what? No.
Lisa, you've got the power.
No, I can. But there are certain things where you're like, don't even go there.
Right.
We've been doing it since, what, like 1863? I should actually know the actual date of, But it's 153 years. And there's one thing that I've learned here is you got to be careful with changes. And that's just not one that is worth doing. We love our two brands. It's a little confusing, you know, for t-shirts, pens and mugs, but it's the right way to go. We also publish the Kennebec Journal out of Augusta and the Morning Sentinel in Waterville. We are really proud of those two papers online. They're centralmaine.com, so they come together online.
Right.
And we also own the Coastal Journal, which is a free weekly out of Bath. It celebrates its 50th anniversary this year, a real important paper to that community. And then we own and operate the our printing plant in South Portland.
And when you say you own and operate, for not only printing your papers, but is it a commercial venture where for other publications they use the press?
So no, we really only print our paper right now. That's one of our remaining hurdles in our long-term sustainability plan is to change our production method in South Portland because the press that we have that's been there for many, many years is really expensive to operate. And the plates that are required for that press are, I think, they're 10 times what a traditional offset plate costs. So we're in the process right now of investigating new methods of production there. And our desire is to get a new/used press to install in that facility.
Because the old school method of printing, literally when you say hold the presses, is every page would be set on a metal plate. Is that how the production work? And literally that plate goes over and over on paper, which comes out of a roll stock. But it just feels like having big metal plates with today's technology that there's more ways to transfer the information and the copy as opposed to burning giant plates.
Steve, you are quite the production expert. I keep my finger.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you know, but I was a columnist for the Needham Times.
I did not know that.
For about 6 weeks.
But were you also a pressman? Because it sounds like it.
Well, no, but for 6 weeks, I was a star columnist, not quite Ellen Goodman level or Mike Barnicle, who I wanted to talk to you about, but right up until I wrote a scathing comparison of Roach Brothers to Stop and Shop and Star Market, who I wasn't aware at the time were also our biggest advertisers.
Oh.
And so, yeah.
But you know you need that editorial independence. I mean, I cringe every day when I open the paper to, you know, as I worry about our advertisers. But there's, even as the publisher, there's nothing I can
do about
it.
You're surprised. You're surprised sometimes, right? You open up the paper and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, but that's what we're all about, right? You need that separation, so... Well, we believe in it. Everyone in the company believes in it.
But yes, I could be a pressman if you need somebody third shift to start running the presses. So, but the idea is you guys are looking for new technology, more efficient technology. Mm-hmm. So, Deb, I think you had a question about wanting to print the Debbie Davis Weekly newsletter.
What would it cost?
Well, we are happy. So,
10 to 15 copies, right?
That's all I need.
When we secure our new printing equipment, we will be able to take on commercial printing. So we're looking forward to that.
Oh,
so
that's
Deb,
good
let's
to
talk.
Know.
Yep,
that's
I'm happy to,
know.
To do a quote for you on that.
Fantastic. Because my fans are waiting. No. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Not to worry. We could also deliver it as well. Because we deliver other publications. That's another revenue stream for us at Man Today Media. So the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Boston Globe. Yeah. Say, hey, when our carriers are going, why not take more things? And one of the things that I think about, and I'm sure Reed thinks about this too, is what else can we deliver? Like, what do you want stuffed in your tube? Do you want a hot cup of coffee? Do you need a new pair of socks? Like, so we really are the only fleet that goes out to Maine 7 days a week.
At 3:30 in the morning, you come out on my street.
Yeah, what do you want, Steve? Just order up.
I know, because you have this infrastructure.
That's right. You have the vehicles.
You have the labor. Throwing in something else, a croissant maybe.
Yeah, a croissant would be nice.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
You get the newspaper and the croissant.
Oh, yeah. I'll brew the coffee at home, but yeah.
Okay, we're going to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, although you know what? People love those scratch bagels. Why don't we deliver those scratch bagels with your paper?
Oh.
Emily, what do you think? You're a big fan of the bagels, right?
I mean, if I can get a bagel with my Sunday paper... Fine.
Yeah.
Well,
she already told me, though, that she gets the Sunday paper.
Yeah.
And we are delighted to have Emily. She's one of our youngest subscribers. So, yay. Whatever you want, Emily, I will personally deliver it to your house.
You can make her the captain of, like, the millennial category
yes.
or something.
Yeah.
She's right there.
I'm in.
Yeah.
So, to talk about, since we're talking about kind of audience segmentation, you know, with the papers in aggregate, roughly what percentage of people get their news now by delivery, and it used to be a high number in some newsstand, which I don't even know if we have newsstands. I mean, obviously, gas stations sell newspaper magazines. But what percentage of the readers for the Portland Press Herald and the aggregate papers get their news from you all in either paper form delivered, buy it at the newsstand if they're getting gas or at their Dunkin' Donuts or something like that, or digital? And talk a little bit about how that shift is occurring and what the paper's doing to kind of accommodate what is clearly a shift to more digital.
Okay, one thing I need to say is I forgot to mention MaineToday.com. So Ames Ponte, who is the producer for Maine Today, she will beat me when I go back to the office
because
if I do not mention it.
You saved the best for last.
I did save it, and I want to put a spotlight on it.
Yeah, you wrote a little note. I'm saving the best for last. So you won't get in trouble.
So Maine Today is our arts and entertainment brand, and it is MaineToday.com is a free website, and it's partners with our Thursday entertainment print magazine, Maine Today, the magazine. So that does kind of speak to your question about, so we still sell a lot of papers on newsstands. So we have our single copy and we have our home delivery. So on a given Sunday, between all of our papers, say our distribution is about 80, 90,000 people getting the paper, buying it at the newsstand, right, on a Sunday. But on a monthly basis, on our websites, we have about 1.2 million visitors. Okay, so the online audience is you know, more than 10 times the size of the print audience. Mm-hmm. But all of our revenue comes from our home delivery customers, and well, not all of it, but a big majority comes from our home delivery subscription revenue and then also the print advertising. Now, about 2 years ago, we put a paywall up on our website, and that has helped with subscriber retention. And we also have about 2,500 digital-only subscribers. So,
hello, right here.
Oh, there you are. Thank you.
I am holding up my iPhone.
Yeah, with our app.
Yeah. And it's actually a very user-friendly, simple app.
Yep.
And for our listeners who are looking for different, you know, I also subscribe to the paper. I think you guys had an offer for the Sunday paper and the digital.
Less than $10 a month.
A bargain. It's like you're giving it away.
Pretty much.
Absolutely.
And now that we're going to distribute bagels with it, it's even more of an added value.
Exactly. When you get up to
cream cheese will be a premium.
Yeah. For me, it would be a jelly donut from Dunkin' Donuts. But for Emily and for Deb, who are... They like the croissant. They like the lattes and all the fancy drinks and stuff.
Yeah. Me too.
I'm just kind of a simple guy. But yeah, but if you have an iPhone, or I think there's multiple platforms, look into downloading the app.
That's right.
Because every morning, the first thing I do is I go on the app, and it's broken down by categories: news, sports, politics, business. I used to go to the politics section, but now I've got it blocked out. I don't even want to hear about it.
Makes you too angry?
Well, it makes me angry both in the macro sense and also in the, you know, my recent experience in politics where there's only so much you can do. There's only so many times you can read, you know, what is Steve Woods doing? Well, why is he running to this? And before you just go, those are good questions. And so I go from news to business and then sports and opinion. But, yeah, I would encourage anyone. You know, here's my news feed. I've got Time, AP, TV Guide, CNN, and Portland Press Herald. But it's a good product.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you get it? Deb, you
we
guys
use
get
it at the
digital?
Station. Yeah. We use it at the station.
At the mothership, as we say?
At the mothership, yes.
Yeah. So people are, you know, you're starting to get ready for even more of a migration, right?
Yeah. And what we're doing is we're really pushing our journalism out on as many platforms as possible. So we also know, too, now there's Facebook Instant Articles, and Google has a product called AMP, which is Accelerated Mobile Pages, which means we're going to be pushing our content out to those channels. So we have to get comfortable with the fact that our journalism will be consumed in places other than our own platforms, but the important thing is that we engage the audience, right?
Right.
Now, we're not 100% sure how to actually monetize that audience right now, but if you sit back and wait for the business model to catch up, then you've lost your opportunity to engage people. So we really have more people than ever in our history consuming our journalism.
In different forms.
And, you know, the value of the customer is different depending on how you consume it. My favorite group of people are the 7-day home delivery customers, of course, and they get unlimited digital access. But we also welcome people that might just read one or two articles, you know, through Facebook. Facebook is a ridiculously important channel for us to sample our journalism.
Interesting. By the way, you're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, News Talk WLOB 1310, also on 100.5 FM, and also TideSmartRadio.com. We have Lisa DeSisto. She's the CEO and publisher of Maine Today Media, which own and operate the Portland Press Herald and other papers. What does the CEO and publisher do at the newspapers in terms of your day-to-day role? And then why don't you just delineate how that relates to the editorial, which people think of as the news and the journalism part of it.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I was at an event last night and someone introduced me as the editor of the paper, which I'm not. So, I mean, the editor is responsible for all of the news content, what goes in the paper, what goes on the website. The editor reports to me, but I don't get involved on a day-to-day basis at all.
There's lots of reasons, but what are the journalistic reasons? Because the journalism is rooted in some really important functions in our country and our democracy in terms of people having faith in information that's being presented that is unpolluted or influenced by money or politics or anything like that. So How does that work, both at the papers and your role versus the folks that are in the editorial side?
Sure. I mean, because I'm responsible for the business side of the operation, so advertising, marketing, circulation revenue, it would be inappropriate for me to have a hands-on role in deciding what's in the newspaper. So really, the separation between the newsroom and the business side is real, and it only comes together, you know, at the publisher's level. So I'm not involved in any of those day-to-day decisions at all. It's really my job to build and execute the business model that sustains our operation and our employees for the long term. So one of the things, for example, that I've been involved in with our unbelievably awesome team on the business side, mm-hmm. our sales and marketing team, is expanding our role in events. So we actually love to take pages out of the New York Times playbook and and make things local. So they have a very successful program. Well,
Stephanie Manning does a great job.
Stephanie
huh?
Manning. It's her and her team, right? They're awesome.
You know about her background with O.
That's right.
Oprah.
That's right. She worked for Oprah.
Deb, did I tell you that?
No.
A couple things about Stephanie Manning. Big shout out. Really sharp, sharp lady. Really nice lady. I believe she and her husband still own the diner.
They do indeed. The Miss Portland Diner, best hash in town.
Oh, yeah. It is the best. That's where I go when I'm really hungry for lunch, mm-hmm. right there. But her background, I believe, prior to coming to Maine, was she was working for Oprah magazine. And I met her once, and I said, you got to tell me, inside scoop, Stedman, is it real or is it mythology? You know what? I don't know if it was an NDA or non-disclosure, or maybe it was just her profound professionalism. But she said, I can't tell you about the Oprah Stedman thing. And I'm like, come
on.
She's
very professional about Oprah. Oh. We always try to pry stuff.
Because Oprah is a phenom, right?
Yeah, she
Oprah is unbelievable. And I told her my story of running into Stedman at an airport years ago.
Yeah.
And he wasn't alone. He wasn't with Oprah.
Oh.
And so it was scandalous. I said, come on, tell me the truth. What's going on with Oprah? And I said, I relate to Oprah. You know, Oprah is just, she's brilliant and she's media and she's everything. And she loses weight, gains weight. And so I've emulated Oprah only to the part where I've gained weight. Mm-hmm. I need to.
You're like the male Oprah.
Without the losing the weight.
The white male Oprah.
With the white.
That, yeah.
If I could just, I skip the part. So when Oprah puts on weight, she's unabashed. She goes, I am Oprah. I own it. And I'm like, yeah. Me too, sister. Yeah. I'm right there. But Stephanie.
Anyway, back to Stephanie.
She does a great job.
She does. But I want to say, when I got my job here, the first person to reach out to me was Stephanie Manning, who was working at Oprah's magazine. And she said, my husband runs the Miss Portland Diner. I have three girls. We live in New Jersey. We want to get to Maine. Do you need a marketing person? And, you know, so here they are, and they're thriving, and she also, I don't know where she finds the time, but she and a friend of hers that she worked with previously just bought Harvest on the Harbor.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. So like Stephanie, she does it all. So my point, I don't know how we got down the Stephanie,
talking about
fan
business
club road,
and
but,
marketing yeah. and what the paper does for outreach.
But we are starting to do more events. So we started this series, Maine Voices Live, where we have interesting Mainers come and do a one-on-one interview with journalists. Mm-hmm. And we do it at One Longfellow Square. Those sell out. We did the Source Awards the other night, celebrating the leaders in the sustainability movement at Pineland Farms. That sold out. We're doing a massive high school sports event on April 27th at USM in Gorham. And we realize we need to relate to a younger audience. I'm pointing to Emily. So mm-hmm. Spose is our host for the VMEA's, the Varsity Maine Awards. So he's doing a custom wrap that will feature our sponsors. So we're feeling like we got things going on.
Will you be joining him in the wrap?
I will be totally sitting in the stage.
You have the vernacular.
I mean,
you mentioned
in
the jam.
No,
you mentioned
no, no, no,
that.
No.
So
which
I think
was totally fake, just like my farming. But I'll be sitting in the audience. I will not be on stage. No, no,
wow.
no, no.
You don't have that kind of game?
I don't have that kind of game at all.
Wow. We have Lisa DeSisto here, CEO, publisher of Maine Today Media, Portland Press Herald. You talked about journalism, and I have a great respect. Our country was kind of founded on, I don't want to say it was founded on journalism, but since the early
First
days.
First Amendment.
There's a reason, A, it's the First Amendment,
That's
because
right.
also many of our founders I don't know, was it Ben Franklin had a printing press? And
yeah,
so
he had a blog, I think.
A blog and a press. He had very, very light satellite connectivity. But back then, the printed word was important. Mm-hmm. It was respected, and journalism was respected. In the last couple of decades, there's other areas of society that have faced challenges. But I grew up in the era of 60 Minutes. It's like tick, tick, tick. Mm-hmm. This week on 60 Minutes, the Panama Canal. Should we give it up? Should we, rebuild it? Mike Wallace. You never question. That's the sound, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, right. But you never question the journalism. So if 60 Minutes said something, or mm-hmm. Morley Schaefer, or the old grumpy guy Andy Rooney at the end, what about, if you ever get into a cab, and then they pull. So with those guys.
Did you practice that?
That was quite good.
They keep sending me stuff in the mail. Do they know I don't open it? I don't open it.
I love that glue.
What can we do with all that glue? So I wanted to be on that show. Never quite happened. So with 60 Minutes, and in that period of journalism, the Boston Globe was it. The New York Times was it. And I wasn't in Maine 30 years ago. But likewise, the daily paper here had that credibility. Now in 2016, it feels like the whole bedrock of journalism has changed, and in some ways I think has been diluted because of the pressures of commerce, financial pressures. And as much as journalism is a noble profession and it's a critical element in a free and open democracy, it's still a business. It still requires money to run, and it's not state-sponsored, nor should it ever be government or state-sponsored. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they do in Russia. But there's been lots of pressure where the differentiation, you were talking about journalism, between journalism, news, and information has gotten blurred. And for me, it feels like it's going through some really interesting times, and ultimately it'll shake out when the commerce part of it becomes clearer in terms of digital and how people are paying for it. But right now it feels hard. It feels you go online and you're not sure what link is journalism, what link goes to information, what link is sponsored.
Yeah.
I went on the Portland Press Herald site earlier today, and for me, because I read it all the time and I go online, I kind of know that if there is a story on there from your writers, your editorial board, that represents journalistic standard.
Mm-hmm.
But you have sponsored links, and you have other content that links through. And whether it's with the Portland Press Herald or in other areas of the web and in television, it feels to me like it's getting harder for the average consumer or reader or viewer or listener to differentiate what is the pure journalism and what is someone is paying or trying to influence
sure.
particular content. And how do you deal with that? And do you agree that it's a challenge, or is everything great in the world in journalism? That's a softball question. That's what we call in the business.
That's a softball? Wow.
It
was like the longest question, though, in the history of questions.
There was a lot of punctuation there. If that was a run-on sentence, it would be three pages.
I'm not an editor, so don't worry. I won't pick it apart. So your question, albeit long, is a great one. I think it really underscores the importance of trusted brands in our very fragmented media world. So when, as you said, when you read something from the Portland Press Herald or the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Boston Globe, you can trust it. It has a long history, and it has the mechanisms in place with copy editors, editors, reporters, fact checking the news that you can read. And so I do think that's a differentiator for us online now, right? That our brand is.
But you can differentiate that. Can the readers, because you're informed
yep.
and you're in the business, but to somebody sitting in Augusta, for somebody sitting in their house,
yep.
for somebody, Joe or Susie sitting, is it as easy as it should be for those people to differentiate what is content? What's
well,
real?
I will tell you, I don't. We I don't think we do this online, and I'll talk a little bit about how we make certain of that. But I do think that sometimes when you're online, it is difficult to discern what's a sponsored post and what's a, you know, a legitimate news story. We have started to do more sponsored content, not as much as other media properties. But one of the things that we talk about when we're reviewing the guidelines for it is it clear to the user? Because or to the reader, we do not want to fool them. We don't want to try to be clever about it. So we make sure, even you'll see this in ads in the papers, you know, sometimes advertisers will do things that look like news stories. We put advertisement in a border all the way around it a million times. So we really work hard to make sure there's that separation between what's commerce and what's content. But how many times have you heard someone say, oh, I read it on the internet, so it must be true? And then they go, ha ha.
How many times have you heard it? Donald Trump, who's the leading Republican candidate to be president, and if a couple lucky bounces coming up, he could be the next president of the United States. He posted something kind of insane. I can't even recall what it was, but he said he saw it on the internet.
Yeah.
There was something like a week or two ago, and I don't know if it was about Ted Cruz or his wife or something, but his excuse was like, hey, how do I know? I just saw it on the internet.
That's right. So that's why you only rely on trusted brands.
Right. Well, I know.
You want to make sure it's true. So there we – Advantage Newspapers.
Well, Advantage Newspapers. That's your guy, isn't it, Tim?
Oh, yeah, sure.
We're not going to talk about politics here, but – I saw your bumper sticker.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's you've got one of those magnetic ones that you flip over depending on where you're traveling and what neighborhood you're in.
Yes,
indeed. You know, sometimes you feel the burn. I get that.
Sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you don't feel the burn. Speaking of fun writers, I talked to you, I think I sent you an email. Ellen Goodman. Boy, she's something, huh?
Yeah.
She, I don't want to... disclose or kind of out what, you know, her any of her personal information, but she comes to Maine every summer. Mm-hmm. I grew up in, you know, there was Mike Barnicle, who interesting columnist. There were a lot of sports columnists in the Globe, but Ellen Goodman, I think she was a Pulitzer Prize winning columnist, right? I forget for which, whether it was for column or for a feature or something. Yeah. But she's going to be on the show next month.
Awesome.
Well, I can't promise it. I sent her a note and I said, hey, I'm a big fan. I used to deliver newspapers and, you know, we're both columnists. I was with the Needham Times and I was with the Needham Times for six columns before the whole Roach Brothers thing popped up. But she said, oh, yeah.
Well, you saw Spotlight, right?
Yeah.
So it was Ellen's column.
Oh,
that really
right.
sparked the whole thing. So you definitely should. I mean, I just softballed you. You got to talk to her about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you see Spotlight yet?
No.
Yeah.
What?
No.
How could you know?
Sorry. So let's talk about Spotlight for a second. Because
that's journalism. That is a great example of unbelievable journalism.
Right. And I have to say, I was proud to work at the Globe during that time.
Right.
I worked at Boston.com. I had no idea what they were up to. I know that they were in this office on the way to the gym, and that was, you know, pretty much it. And as someone that worked at the Globe, when I saw the movie, it was just unbelievably emotional to understand the impact that their work had on not just the community in Boston, but worldwide, right? And so for me, it just underscores like the importance of newspapers, because without newspapers, that doesn't happen. And as much as I respect my friends that work in television, you know, TV newsrooms don't go that deep, nor do they give a group of reporters that much time to chase a story like that.
Yeah, they don't have the resources. I mean, typically they'll go with wire services, or if the Press Herald runs a story, they'll send out a crew, they'll get some video B-roll, and then...
Yeah, well, when you watch the news at night, although I can't say I watch much local TV news, not that I don't love it, but my lifestyle doesn't permit it.
Uh-huh.
And or when I love to listen to Ken and Mike in the morning, and it's like, according to the Press Herald, did you read that in the Press Herald this morning? We do set the media agenda for the state. We do.
Who's Ken and Mike? Who are these people you speak of?
I go from Hot 104.7 to Ken and Mike, so that's what I do.
And you're going to be going to Hot 100.5 soon, aren't you?
Yes.
I mean, you've got like six buttons on your radio. You know, you could throw us a little...
Who has buttons on their radio anymore?
I know. Nobody has buttons. You have technology interfaces. You have something on your radio, a preset. You should be able to just think a station and it should pop up.
That's what I do.
So WLOB 1310 AM or WLOB 100.5, you know, we just get those. In the last couple of minutes, you know, we were talking about that journalism spotlight, which was fabulous. And really, it was such important work. And when I go back to Watergate and Woodstein, Bernstein and Woodstein.
Yeah, you get it.
One of the
all
two. All the president's men. That changed American history.
That's right.
And at the Press Herald, there's a couple of writers that I'm particularly fans of. One, Bill Nimitz, a columnist, mm-hmm. who has won all kinds of awards. And he's from Needham, Mass. Yeah.
Roads lead to Needham. The Red Raiders or whatever you people were.
We're the Rockets.
The Rockets,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay. And also Colin...
Colin Woodard.
He's one of your star... Like, he does the investigative kind of stuff. Or he does the in-depth, long piece, long feature stuff.
Yep. That's really what he focuses on. He actually has a new book out called American Character. You should get it.
I saw a tweet the other day. He was somewhere in like Colorado or
he's
America.
Been on this on a book tour.
He's kind of a big deal, right?
We did a book reading with him a couple weeks ago at the Portland Public Library, and we advertised it to our subscribers and in the paper, and we had 200 people that came. And when he said, "How many people read my first book?" And you know, like 90% of the people raised their hand. So those were the Colin Woodard groupies. He has this intense following, and they love to just, you know, delve into American history and the impact that history is having on society today. And it's pretty awesome stuff.
Last fall, we had a barbecue. Invited all of my readers from the Needham Times and from the Forecaster, and nobody showed. It was Deb. It was Sully, and it was me.
Oh,
and we had like five cases of hot dogs and hamburgers, and we had all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, hey, come on, readers. Come celebrate, you know, 40 years of journalism from Needham Times all the way to the Forecaster.
I did not get an invite. I totally would have come.
The next time I'm going to be, come join me and other famous, accomplished writers like Colin Woodward and Bill Nimitz in kind of like, act like they're going to be there too.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes. You use the punctuation.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to imply they were going to be here.
I didn't imply. It's like all other great writers, like real writers. Ellen Goodman, too, by the way, is another great accomplished writer, Pulitzer Prize winner. So join and together, myself and Ellen Goodman, we have one Pulitzer between us.
Yeah.
And so come visit. Hey, it was so nice of you and so generous of you with your time to come here today. I hope that we move it up instead of every 2 years. Maybe we go once a year. We have you come in for a state of the state of what's going on in publishing.
Yeah, I would appreciate it. I enjoy it. I got a free coffee mug and a lot of beverages, so it was great.
There's beverages. There's a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
You know, next time we may have T-shirts. We have the whole portfolio of premiums.
I love it.
Deb, we've got to keep our three listeners happy, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We focus. We have a marketing department just focused on that.
We do.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa.
My pleasure. And, thanks, Steve and crew.
Keep up the good work. This is our talk with Lisa DeSisto. She is CEO, publisher of Maine Today Media, which includes the Portland Press Herald. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, News Talk WLOB 1310 AM and LOB 100.5 FM.